As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is the Civilized Barking Podcast with Zach Jackson.
Welcome, everyone. So when we get rolling here, in a little bit, this will be our post-game live chat, our Civilized Barking post-game discussion. I am in SoFi Stadium. Jason is back on the home front. The Browns lost again, two in a row. They're 7-5, and they're one of four 7-5 teams. There are three wild cards, as you know. Some strange stuff's going to happen. And there were some strange occurrences today, as there are most Sundays. But you get to 10, you're probably in. You don't get to 10, you're probably not in. Those numbers might change, and there might be some wild scenario. But today we saw Joe Flacco come in and play really well. And obviously the interception was crippling. It really, Jason, puts, a damper on a strong performance by him, by the offense. They're right in the game until the last few minutes. And obviously to win these games, to win on the road, you're going to have to win the last few minutes and you're going to have to be sharper. Penalties creeping up and the defense still getting cooked by the misdirection. But let's just start with the most important position, the fourth starter of the year, a guy who was on his couch 2 weeks ago. He's got to be your quarterback because to win 3 of 5, although I had a fair amount of optimism, I mostly had no idea what to expect, Jason. I wrote that. I said that to you. I think I said it in our Friday chat. But I think you got to go with Flacco. I think he gives you a chance to win the three that you need to win.
He was way better than I thought he could be, than I thought he would be. I do not have a list this week. I have my AirPods back in, so sorry to disappoint anyone who... We got a kick out of the list the last couple of weeks. That's gone. Joe, it looked like an NFL offense. And yeah, it looked like, third down, we're going to take a deep shot down the field. You had a quarterback. I know he's 23 or 44, but the accuracy is going to be there. You think it's going to be there going forward. Like, it's, for the most part, he's going to put it where it's supposed to be. And I was really impressed, much more so than I thought I would be. I tend to agree with you because I went into the week thinking Flacco for one, and then I'd go right back to the DTR if and when he's cleared, which he took such a big hit. It's not a foregone conclusion. He's cleared by next week anyway. Marquise Goodwin's been out a month with a concussion, maybe even longer. So it may be no choice at all if Dorian's not even cleared. But, it's hard to watch that performance and say, at least for right now, Joe doesn't give you the best chance to win and ride the hot hand. And doesn't mean he's always going to play that well. And, we saw Josh Dobbs play really well for the Vikings for a couple of weeks, and then the magic run out. Flacco's better than Dobbs. Flacco in his prime was better than Dobbs could ever be. But this obviously is well past his prime at 38. But I don't see any reason not to ride the hot hand with Joe going forward. Just really disappointed by the defense. This is a few weeks in a row now where they just keep getting gashed. And, the all-time elite historic numbers from a month or so ago seems to be fading farther and farther away. I don't know what it looked like in person, but a couple of times I thought, my God, just get a stop, guys. Just get a stop.
Yeah. Well, I thought McVay and Stafford would be a step ahead of them. And there were some times early second quarter and one drive, I think, in the third. They were good. But it was hard to get pressure all day for both. I think the Rams, I know for a fact that everything started with stopping Myles Garrett. Myles said the shoulder didn't affect him much. I doubt that.
Yeah, that's not true.
They were just able to, you know, do what other teams have done, right? And you do it in your own way with Matt Stafford and with Sean McVay. But the misdirection, quarterback who's even a little bit mobile, the quick handoff on the motion, you know, the pre-snap motion, it's the way you counter this defense. And this defense says we play one way, we play up the field, and we live with the consequences. And especially on the road, you know, here come the consequences. As far as Flacco and first impressions, ball coming out quickly, ball coming out crisply with gas on it. You know, all except a couple times going where it's supposed to go. Smart throwaways when he did have to get rid of it. To come out and score on the first drive with a quarterback that hasn't been here is impressive. Only three times all year, Jason, have they had a quarterback throw for multiple touchdown passes, as scary as that is. And again, they're right in it. I mean, you look at the numbers with 5 minutes to go in this game. The Rams had better offensive numbers because it created more big plays. But, you know, you would have said, okay, this game's going to the wire. And in a way, it did, right? You know, the Rams did take control of the fourth quarter and then hit him with a couple exclamation points, obviously. But, you know, to unlock Elijah Moore is important. Now, obviously, Amari Cooper went out with a concussion, and you're probably looking at not having him for a week as well, just on how this has gone. Only a small handful of guys have not at least missed one game this year when they've had a concussion. You know, if you do bring Dorian back, I think you can mix him in a little bit and give the defense something to think about. Because here's the reality. Even with Joe playing as well as he did in unlocking, flat out unlocking some doors that previously were not unlocked with his arm strength, you know, it's still a fight here for everything.
Sure.
And, you know, he's not going to run away from people. He is going to struggle if you get in down or you get in third and must pass and they bring the heat on you. And, you know, this is not a team that has much margin for error. So, look, I think that you could say if he plays like that, you have a chance to win three of the five. Sure. If he plays like that and throws one interception every week, is it toss up? Yeah. And so you can't miss extra points. You can't have 75 penalty yards. You know, you can't be jumping off sides and be jumping on the fake pitch and watching some guy run the other way for 15 before you know where the ball is. And again, some of it's going to happen. It's the NFL, right? But, you know, I think in two games here, and obviously the tone of the second game on this road trip was completely different because it was Flacco. It was trying to keep up with Matt Stafford and all of that. I don't think the Browns put forth winning efforts. You know, the offense certainly was better today, right? But I just think from a sharpness standpoint, from a defense keeps getting beat on the same thing standpoint, and from the penalties keep popping up, even though Martin Emerson's penalty saved the touchdown realistically when he just tackles 2-2 Atwell, right? It hasn't been good enough. And so, you know, you leave here, you have to win three of the five. And if they do it, I won't be stunned. And if they don't win again, I won't be stunned. I think it's in the middle somewhere. And by winning the turnover battle and actually getting people on the ground is how you give yourself a chance to do it.
Well, I'll be stunned if they don't win again. I think they got a couple in there that they absolutely better win. But at some point, the injuries just become too much to overcome. And I you know, we reached that point. It felt like we reached that point a week or two ago, and yet they still keep coming.
Hang on there. Like, this is a no-excuse league, and I know for 2 years we've had excuses because the quarterback. Well, the Rust excuse got thrown out of the window today.
Absolutely.
And, again, but let's not go big picture here, because this is just about finding a way to win three of the last five, regardless of how and regardless of who those come against, right? But, like, no excuses. They have not had Nick Chubb since mid-September. You know, they clearly need Denzel Ward, and a big part of the game plan was to clearly attack the side of the field today, the left cornerback, whether it was Mike Ford or Khalif Halassi, and they had a lot of success doing it, including a second and long in the second half where, you know, somebody else, a starting quality corner doesn't get fooled on that. Mike Ford gets fooled on it. They go score. So this defense without Ward and Garrett is not, obviously, the devastating swarming unit that it was, and it's got to find a way to be more of it, whether those guys are in there or not, whether Miles is going to play at 80% or 50%. And we don't know on Denzel next week, right? He hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. He has not been spotted on the practice field, other than the fact that UCLA, you could see behind the practice field and you could see where the guys were who weren't participating that day, but he wasn't out doing anything. So, obviously injuries have hurt this team, but injuries are not going to be an excuse because they're not a contender anyway. They don't have their quarterback, and the offense has been a mess all year long for various reasons. But to get in and give yourself a chance, I can't take the injury excuse, right? It's you were 7-3. You got to find a way to be 10-7.
What did you think of the penalty on Posick? We never talk officiating, hardly ever. I don't know if they win that game anyway, but boy, that looked like a horseshit call. It was a total horseshit call.
I'm glad you brought it up. You know, that's one of those when the TV is zoomed in and the announcers are discussing it. You're getting a lot more than sitting on the other side of the field, right, in level 700. Kevin addressed it after the game, and he basically said they do not teach moving the ball, and he does not think that Ethan moves the ball. They're not interested in the 4 inches that could be gained from that. He said, but because of the Eagles and the tush push and because of all the complaints and all the spotlight on that, feels like it's been a point of emphasis for referees to over officiate that kind of play. And so he thinks that they decided that it moved, that it didn't, that the Browns were trying to gain an advantage. He was adamant that the Browns were not trying nor expecting to gain any kind of advantage there. And so he was really frustrated. And for him to address it directly, when you know he doesn't even acknowledge that it's Wednesday on fucking Wednesday, right? Then that tells you he feels pretty strongly about that. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, I listened to his post game, and he said they were throwing it anyway. Like it didn't even matter if he moved the ball up; they were throwing
right.
it.
Right, that's what he's saying. He's like, yeah, we're not those 4 inches. We're not really interested in those. So, look, when it comes to throwing it, they need Elijah. What does Cedric Tillman have? One or two catches today. You know, Harrison
Moore had 12 targets.
It was a real NFL passing offense where the quarterback got to his second and third progression and the defense overplayed a certain guy or a certain read. And all of a sudden your second tight end is cutting over the middle open, right? Like you play fake to Jerome Ford on the first drive of the game. The defense all flows the other direction and you throw it back. Like that's what it's supposed to look like. Without Amari though, I mean, gosh, because now I can't say he catches everything because he's been guilty in this plague of drops too. But that's what it just comes down to for me is just so many times the Browns are just doing things, whether it's getting flags or missing by an inch or not having the right guy in the right place, you know, and it hasn't been winning efforts because especially to win on the road and especially to finish here this season, you know, we know for various reasons that the last two Decembers and really Thanksgiving after have not gone well for the Browns. And if this one doesn't, they're going to miss the playoffs again. You know, and after that hot start, it seemed kind of unfathomable, right?
Yeah.
You had a defense that's still probably number one in most things. That's now, you know, mortal. And your ever-changing offense looks like an NFL pass offense, and you're excited as hell about it. And I'm not downplaying that because, again, I feel like, and I'm going to go write this as soon as we're done before I go to the airport, like I leave here thinking that the offense can finally do its part, right? But I don't know. And it seems like that the margin for error just in everything right now with non-smart football and guys getting caught leaning, caught looking, makes it even slimmer.
It's funny because we're taking victory laps that the offense looks like an NFL offense. They still only scored 19 points.
Yeah.
But it feels like so much – I don't know. Maybe we're overreacting to it, but it just feels so much. I just looked it up. He completed passes to 9 different receivers. Have they had that all year? I don't know if they've had 9 completions in a game before.
You know, in one other game they did. But yeah, no, that to me, that's something I always look at of when, you know, the quarterback is opening things up, right? And the O-line, I thought, did a good job today, right? They had time. They know that Joe is not going to create with his feet. And especially Joe here on 1 week of prep. Is going to go first read, second read, and throw it away. He's going to be coached to do that, right? So the fact that they got through those, that they hit some, you know, that's encouraging. You know, I think Joe just got a little greedy. I don't have his full explanation for the interception in front of me, they had been running the ball. I understand the frustration there. It stinks you. It just did. I don't sit here right now, 2 hours later, and feel like they were going to get enough stops, right, to actually win it. But, you know, that changed everything. And then that's what allowed it to get away from a game that, you know, could have gone either way in the last 5 minutes to one that stands as a 17-point win.
It is funny. I saw you mentioned it earlier, and I just saw a comment from Samuel Flacco, read the game better than Watson has in 2 years. How much should we talk about? Well, it's rust with Deshaun, and that's why the six games didn't go well. I mean, when's the last time Joe Flacco threw an NFL pass?
Yeah, last January in the season finale against Miami. Yes.
So 12 months.
Yeah, 11 months, almost 11 months exactly.
It's pretty today. Good.
Is there something? Yeah.
Not 500 days, but he still looked pretty good.
Right. And I'll just say this, you know, I don't know that you guys read every word or followed all week, but he came out, guys said the right things about him, that he was doing the right things. They had a QBO line dinner their first night in LA, and he was honestly meeting some of his teammates for the first time then, right? He said, like, on Wednesday's practice, he's like, of course I know this. I do this. I've been on other teams before. He's like, but I had to sit there in the huddle and hear myself say it to process it, right? Yeah. And this is what the Browns have gone through, plugging these different guys in mid-game and mid-week and all this other stuff, right? So, you know, I think that he really impressed guys all week with what he was about, with the way he played today, and they do feel encouraged. And, you know, I kind of feel like I don't disagree strongly with anything I see in the chat. I understand people are frustrated. You know, the pass game, the receiving options, the overall pass game for multiple reasons is not good enough. You don't have your Pro Bowl running back. You haven't had him. And so you're moving the chains. You're setting up next opportunities, but you're just not scoring enough of them. And, you know, if they score 19 in each of the next five games, do I think they can win the three of them and get in? Yes. But do I know that? No. Whereas 2 weeks ago, you just said yes, because this defense is going to hold up its end. And so, like, where's Za'Darius Smith? Not in the backfield a lot, right? Like, why, you know, the Browns play a lot of man, and that's part of the attack style. And quarterbacks are moving their eyes and slightly moving the pocket and launching it downfield, and they're getting interference calls, and they're getting big play opportunities. And on the road, too. Now, the good news is the three of the five that you need are at home. That Texans game on Christmas Eve looms large. Yep. As a potential winner goes to the playoffs, loser stays. But, you know, it is fair to worry about this defense's ability to adjust, to hold up, and to make those plays. Because even in the games, Indy, for example, Seattle, for example, when it gave up some plays and they dug themselves the deficit, they came back and always made that huge one. And, you know, not the last drive in Seattle, but it hasn't been the case the last 2 weeks, and teams have run away. And, you know, I'm not especially worried that Dustin Hopkins missed the point.
I was just going to bring that up. I was just going to bring it up to you.
It was bizarre, but, like, you know, I think you're not going to know whether it's next week or 2 weeks from now. If you're in that last second opportunity, you're not going to know about Flacco and this offense and this kicker until you see it, because you just, there's been so much change that you don't know. And for them to win it, they're going to have to win the last 5 minutes where they've lost them significantly in the last couple games.
You want to take one of these people that are on the stage?
Yeah, but you guys got to be quick here.
Yeah. Zach's got it right.
Yeah. I got it right. Matthew, you're up. Go ahead. Matthew, if you're here, go ahead. Fire away. All right, Matthew, going once. Looks like he's gone. Brandon H., if you're there, go ahead, fire away.
All right, I'm here. I just have two really quick usage/lineup questions. One, on defense, obviously it looked like Newsom struggled last week in Denzel's spot, but it seemed like they went completely away from him on the outside. Yep. And then on offense, last drive, seemed like Pierre Strong was really kind of picking up, and they kind of went away from him completely after that drive.
Yeah, so the Newsom thing was he did get beat on the outside. They want to move him back, and it's just how the Rams play. They felt like he was going to be more valuable there. And then the Rams' adjustment was to get rid of it quick and throw it out to the right flats and pick on whoever that third corner was going to be. The Browns rotated them through the games. So they had a real advantage. And I just think, you know, almost every counter, the Rams countered that with just getting rid of the ball quickly and taking advantage. And really, I think, you know, Nacua didn't play for almost the whole quarter. And between the penalty of Atwell and a couple others where Stafford just misses Nacua and one time misses a wide open cup, like it could have been worse. They shifted there. Pierre Strong did come in. He hadn't been playing much at all, and he was fresh and fast, but I think that was just part of the rotation. Jerome Ford is this team's number one running back, and Ford came right back in. So, you know, I don't know. I thought Strong definitely gave him a boost, right? And it's a shoestring from him scoring down there. But yeah, that's not like a huge concern to me. I do think down the stretch, this Strong is fresh and fast enough to break a big play. And they need it. But of bigger concern is can Cedric Tillman or David Bell make some plays, because we're still in the phase with Njoku where we just don't know.
And with no Amari, that stuff's going to loom really large. Nacua just absolutely scorched them. And the hold, they got bailed out on the hold. Although it looked like, I forget now, I think it was Thornhill. Whoever it was sold it with a flop almost. But he was held for a second on the shoulder pad. But regardless, the bigger concern is I guess you could say this about a lot of NFL defenses, but the speed guys just kill the Browns. How many times have we seen guys with just that one extra gear get out in space and just really hurt this defense?
Right. And I thought it would be Atwell today, but they use Nacua in that role because those guys have given him fits, right? So, definitely it's an issue. And then, of course, Jacksonville next week has all sorts of weapons. Now, they do come here in a short week. And if you're going to play Jacksonville, you would rather play him in Cleveland at home in December than anywhere else.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Then you play the Bears, who you can beat, but you're going to have to, you know, Justin Fields, he'll throw it to you if you give him a chance, but he makes you defend every blade of grass. And then Houston indoors. Now, Houston lost Tank Dell today, and he had been pulling. But, man, they still got some guys, and Stroud seems unfazed. And that will be, like, potentially a flex game, potentially a game where the loser can't get to 10 wins, right? Or the loser ends up going to week 18 needing something else to happen other than just win. The Texans and Colts play each other in week 18. They're two of the teams that have the same record as the Browns right now. The Browns and the Steelers do too. So Kenny Pickett's going to be out. Is that even a downgrade? And they play the Patriots on Thursday night. So, you know, we'll see. Guys, I got to write. And then I got to go to the airport. So thank you for tuning in. We'll have you covered back, you know, on the home front. And again, to me, it has to be Joe Flacco. You have to, again, another challenge for this play caller and play designer. Maybe we will see more of Pierre Strong because they're down a playmaker. I don't know what we're going to see from David Bell and Cedric Tillman, but as we've said all along, all heroes welcome, right? And just got to find a way to score some points, and this defense, you know, maybe getting back home will be the big boost that it needs. So thanks for tuning in. Talk to you guys soon.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.